Welcome to Pay's fourth quarter 2025 earnings call. My name is Natalia, and I'll be your operator today. All of the attendees are currently in silent mode and may send your questions through the web platform. These will be answered at the very end of the session. Please note that this event is being recorded. So let's begin and give the floor to Mr. Daniel Torres, CFO and IRO of Pay Asset Management. Good morning. It's a pleasure to greet you. Today, we have Jairo Corrales, CEO of Pay Asset Management, and Andres Esquivel, our Chief Commercial Officer. Today, we will address the results observed in the fourth quarter of 2024, in which we will analyze the progress of the strategy, the real estate context, and the results of the real estate portion of Pay, financial results covering the performance of the capital market. And we will end with an outlook for 2025 and then with a Q&A session. Jairo Corrales, our CEO, the floor is yours. Thank you so much, Daniela. Good morning. As always, it's a pleasure to be with you, investors. Daniela already told you about the agenda, so let's begin showing the most relevant topics of the development of the strategy. The first pillar that we'd like to address is the diversification of investors. In 2025, we had very positive results, and in the last quarter, we have to highlight the entrance to a new index. It's called the MSCI All Colombia Select, an index that collects 24 of the stocks traded the most in Colombia. In addition, we'd like to highlight that in this same period, we received foreign investment of close to 6 billion pesos, that is, a bit more than $1 million. If we refer to this year, during 2024, the foreign investment of Pay reached $47 million. That is 190 billion pesos. And this is relevant and meets a goal that we set forward several years ago, which for us, it's important not only to meet the expectations of local investors, but also to expand it, attracting foreigners. This can be reflected in a very, very important indicator. To date, or at 31st of December 2024, the position of international investors of the equity of Pay overcomes 6%. The second relevant topic has to do with the capital structure of Pay. So in 2024, we substituted liabilities for more than 2.3 trillion pesos. This was made with national banks under good conditions and under terms that allowed us without problem to harmonize our revenue, meeting financial obligations. In average, the loans that were renovated have a duration above 4 years. Along with managing the portfolio of debt, it's important to highlight that we keep working to structure the 12th emission of participative Pay stocks. This is an initiative that we consider of high value for Pay and its investors. We foresee to do this in the first semester of the year, and for that, we've estimated an amount of the transaction that will range from 300 to 500 billion pesos. What will we use with these resources? It's very clear because of the situation and that in the recent years, the cost of debt increased to very high levels. And then we had a decrease, but it's still at high levels. 100% of the resources that we obtained from issuing these participative shares will be to prepay debt. It's important to comment that from the CFO and Treasury, we've always managed a portfolio of debt in which we have no penalties for prepaying our obligations. This is why, with the resources we obtained from this issue, we can have a significant savings because we would apply these resources to pay the most expensive obligations. It's also important to say that until today, and surely we'll take this into action, is that the amount of the issuance would be the average of the market. A third pillar that we want to highlight within the strategy is related merely with real estate. It has to do with disinvestments. Today, we can confirm to you, very pleased, that we've ended 2024 with three disinvestments. And in the last quarter, particularly, we closed one that's the most important, close to 80 billion pesos. They made a disinvestment in the Center of Distribution of Éxito. This property was acquired in 2007. It was in the portfolio Good Time. It was acquired for an amount of only 20 billion, and we ended the transaction at 80 billion. This amount is 133% above the amount of the equity or the amount recorded in books. And it's important because it shows the trust that we have in our investors, because the management made by the AUM aims to create value. When we make a disinvestment like this, surely we have a positive effect on equity. We have foreseen that with the resources we gain from this disinvestment, we will make a prepayment of financial obligations, which is quite in line with what I just said regarding using the resources for an eventual titularization in the first semester of 2025. Now, since you already know that pay is a vehicle of real estate investment, we cannot lose sight of the real estate underlying subject. We refer to capital structure, the performance of stocks. Danielle will give us more information about that ahead. But we want to give you a context of what's happened in the past 4 or 5 years in real estate and how this story and these trends allows us to be optimistic about what's coming in the next years without losing sight of major challenges, of course. Looking at slide 7, you can see several indicators that are relevant in the industry. First, obviously, inflation. Why is inflation relevant? Because our leases are our source of income, and they're indexed to this indicator. As you know, we had a very high inflation peak that began at the end of 2022 and remained until this year in 2023. Also, and this was not only seen in Colombia but globally, there was a reaction of the central banks related to the intervention rate or the monetary policy rate that led us to have rates above 13%. And this level of rate is already at 9.55, but way above what we saw before the inflation or the pandemic. But here we'd like to highlight two other indicators, materials, which are principal for real estate construction project, and labor. And here we see something similar, big increases, but the curve has flattened. And now it's even showing decreases, and that will allow us to foresee that for the next years, and we'll see it in the next graphs, we will have a positive effect with relatively little inventory and better macroeconomic conditions. On the next graph, on the right-hand side, when it comes to the national construction licenses, this period has been stable with a slight trend even to the downwards. Here we see an annual rate of growth of licenses issued in Colombia from 2022 to 24 that dropped 4%. And this is important because licenses are like a predictor of what will happen in the real estate sector. And we can see this in the graphs below, where the real estate inventory in the main cities of Colombia have had stability with growths between 2 and 2.5% for the main categories, which are part of Pay's portfolio. In warehouses, we can see in Colombia or in the main four cities, there is in total an inventory that reaches 7.3 million square meters, but we began 2019 with 6.5. That is a growth of only 2.4 annual. Something similar in commerce took place where we have 3.8 million square meters, but growth that reached 2%. Similarly, in offices, we began 2019 with total inventory of 4 million square meters, mostly in Bogota, and ended with 4.4. So these growths are way below the inflation that was so high in these years. And this, of course, for the final result, leads to available spaces in the main cities of Colombia to decrease in every category, where the most significant is warehouse, where we reached in 2020 a total inventory of almost 1 million square meters, and we closed with 350,000. And this is relevant because it shows that in the future years, we'll have relatively few projects in execution. We won't see an increase of inventory offers. Instead, we'll have better conditions of interest rates, which will allow us to have real rentals of real estate grow. And that obviously is good news for Part A and overall for real estate investment industries. Now, we would like to provide a summary of the most important indicators in the last quarter of 2024. As you are aware, we have had stability in the portfolio, which rises to close to 10 billion pesos. As we committed to investors in 2024, no new investments were made. We're giving strict compliance to the ICR. While we do not meet this indicator above 1.7, we cannot take debt to generate new acquisitions or investments. This is reflected in the stability of the portfolio. The rentable area is close to 1,136 square meters. Today, we have about 1,500 tenants in the portfolio. And you know, our investors' base expansion strategy has allowed us to have today more than 6,000 investors. Diversification of categories has had no changes. We have two main categories, shopping centers and corporate. The first is 42%, three shopping centers and buildings of offices representing 35% of the revenue pay. And a very important category of GDA is with more than 400,000 square meters is warehouses, logistics, and industries, which represents a revenue of 16%. In past years of PAVE, we had a proper diversification of categories. We have hotels, college residences, and medical centers that represent today 5% of its revenue. Lastly, I'd like to state before giving the floor to Andres Esquivel, who will talk about the most relevant topics in the commercial execution, let's talk about the behavior of the macro indicators. When it comes to physical vacancy, we ended with 5.52, up 119 basic points compared to how we ended 2023. And economic vacancy closed at 6.5, up 45 basics. It's still within very normal parameters, the vacancy, with a portfolio, remember, that already has more than 1 million square meters. Also, we ended the year with good performance of revenue. We had revenue for more than 770 billion, way close to 10% of the growth compared to 2023 of 9.8. The NOI margin, which shows revenue discounted the operating expenses, as you know, these are basically insurance, property tax, and repairs and maintenance, reached 641 billion. Presenting or reflecting an increase of over 10% compared to the same indicator in 2023. And lastly, the EBITDA reached close to 550 billion, 9.9% up. As to margins, because it's important to say that what grew, but it did grow the operating as the EBITDA. So the NOI margin closed at 83.5%. 2.6%, 47 basis points above last year. The EBITDA margin closed at 71%, up 7 basis points. And a point that is very relevant for you investors is the components of profitabilities that you receive from pay. Remember that there are two components to create the profitability. One is cash on cash, or the capability that we have to distribute yields, and second is appreciation of the share, which in turn should reflect the performance of the real estate portfolio. So let's talk about the distributable cash flow, in which, seeing what happened in 2 years, we have to say that there's been great performance of this indicator in 2024. But especially, I'd like to highlight that we're not yet at the levels that we consider optimal, and that for 2025, we project a very, very significant growth. So in 2023, because of distributable yields to our investors, we provided $63 billion in the year that ended in 2024. For this concept, investors received more than $135 billion. And in this year, we expect that the generation of cash is in a range between 220 and 240 billion pesos. As you can see, these are significant increases, and as of this year, we have a stabilization, and we will be very close to levels of the dividend yield that we had before the pandemic. Precisely regarding this indicator, in 2023, the dividend yield reached 2.29%, while in 2024, we would set at 4.5%. And for 2025, we estimate that it will be 7.328%. This is tied to good news that you'll see in your accounts on February 14th, when we will distribute to our investors 50 billion pesos. That is 1,168 pesos per share. Remember that this amount is sensibly above what was given last year, and even 2 years ago. The yields for this year will all be in this order, because remember, we are estimating a total delivery yard yields close to 230 billion pesos. So this way, we wanted to talk about the most relevant aspects, not only of pay's strategy, but also the results of last quarter and how this consolidates a positive year for pay with good recovery, and a year 2025, which we expect to consolidate a cash flow, which is one of the most important aspects for new investors. Now let's give the floor to Andres Esquivel, who will talk about commercial management. Thank you, Aido. Good morning, everyone. Next, we will summarize the most important relevant aspects of the commercial management of our portfolio. As you can see on the graph on the left, we closed vacancy in the last quarter of the year at 5.52%. That means up 31 basis points compared with the quarter immediately before, and up 119 basis points in the same period the year before. Explanations mainly correspond to the termination of two contracts in the logistics assets, particularly in the distribution center of Cuadratu with 5,000 square meters, a contract that we had with Sancho's Polo, and 5,000 square meters, which were terminated the last quarter at Citium. This is the explanation why we had that variation in the physical vacancy. With regards to economic vacancy, we ended at 6.48%, down 96 basic points compared to the quarter immediately before, an increase of 45 basic points compared to the same period the year before. The reduction that we're seeing is because of the better performance in the sales of our commercial assets, and the positive absorption that we had in the category of corporate. In the next slides, we'll see closer these indicators in each one of the portfolios. Moving on to withholding, in the fourth quarter of the year, we withheld 82,000 square meters for a total in the year above 97,000 square meters, which means our renovation of contracts at 97% in the entire year. Likewise, the square meters placed in the last quarter of the year correspond to a figure close to 5,000 square meters for a total of the year of 22,500 square meters. Moving on to the next slide, and now looking closer at this, we find the category of corporate assets, in which the percentages of economic vacancy are stable in the quarter before compared. And here we have to highlight several aspects in which, although we terminated two contracts and the buildings Elemento and Amadeus in Bogota, with areas of 1,570 square meters, respectively, these spaces were immediately absorbed. So today, they are rented, and we managed to place 500 square meters in the Atrium building, in which the contract was signed at the end of December. This reflects positive trends in numbers of absorption, but we do recognize and we're absolutely aware, conscious of the challenge we have ahead and the commitment we have to lower the number of physical and economic vacancies, especially because in the market they're at 8%. But however, it's also important to highlight that one of the good things of pay is the diversification of the different categories it has, because it helps to absorb these behaviors. So today, the vacancy, physical vacancy, that is at 5.5% is a vacancy totally natural and healthy within the industry of real estate funds. Moving on to the right-hand side of the slide, you can see the trend again of the traffics of the corporate assets, which in the past 4 years have evolved to indicators pre-pandemic. It's important to highlight that this indicator is never above 100%. It's mainly at 85%. And here what you can see are trends in the companies to go back to their to work in offices. And this, of course, will help us with the dynamics in next years. Moving on to the next slide. In the commercial category, we see indicators that are healthy, even below those of the market, where you can highlight mainly the reduction of, 300 basic points that have to do with the economic vacancy, and this is in effect from the absorption of square meters and from a better performance of sales in the last quarter. And this is corroborated with the graphs you see on the right-hand side, where you can see an increase of 6.45% in sales per square meter in our shopping centers, in which in the last quarter of the year, we had a number higher than 1,100 pesos square meter versus the amount in which we closed in 2023. And it's important to mention that particularly in the last quarter of every year, we see a growth from 25 to 30% in sales that correspond to the high seasons of the year. Likewise, the total traffic of people that moved through our shopping centers in 2024 were close to 68 million versus the 66.5 million observed in 2023, up 1.78%. Yeah. This also shows the benefits, not only with having the diversification in portfolio, but within these portfolios, having different types of assets is also great. Remember, we have portfolios of shopping centers destined to different segments of the population to amortize and the different dynamics of the market. Moving on to the next slide, we see the category of logistic assets, in which in the last quarter you can see an increase in physical and economic vacancy close to 100 basic points. This is mainly explained because of the return or termination of the contract that I mentioned initially at 5,000 square meters at the logistic park at Cuadrato set in Bogota at the corridor of Calle 80, which along with the termination of the 5,000 square meters seen in the past quarter at Sitium is what shows us those indicators that we managed to close last year with a vacancy of 100%. Still, it's important to highlight that we are way below the average vacancy of the market. And this is reflected, as you can see on the right-hand side of the slide, to our commercial management, because we retained almost 80,000 square meters in different assets, and we expect that in the coming months, we can formalize a couple of prospects that we have very advanced to turn to go back to indicators that we're used to below 2% in occupation. Moving on to the next slide, looking at the category of hospitality and specialized, on the upper left-hand side graph, we see the evolution of the occupation of our college residences, CTU in Bogota and Boho in Cali. We find that the trends of occupation in 2024 remain practically stable compared to the year before. And we can highlight at Boho a recovery very significant in its occupation in the second semester of the year, reaching 69%. With an average in the year of 63, which is quite similar to the numbers of the of occupation that we had last year. In the lower graph, we see the evolution of the indicators of occupation of rooms and the average revenue for a hotel, Cala Blanca in Baru. Here it's important to highlight that in the revenues, during the last quarter of the year versus the same period of the year 2023, there is a growth of 36% and of the total year close to 16%. While the occupation moved in an average in the year 2023 from 54% to 63% in the year 2024, up 90 basic points. And this is then the reflection that we are aligning better the practices that we've been implementing in the sales channel that are established by the operator. And to end, on the right-hand side, this is just a message to give you peace of mind regarding the share of the KRLT group in the total of the portfolio, in which the revenue of the four large fronts that we have with them do not surpass 3% of the portfolio's total revenue. However, the EPS in particular, which are the ones that are very sensitive, well, with everything that's been experienced in recent months, only have a share of 0.10% of the total revenue of the portfolio. Meaning, we just want to give you peace of mind, not only in the component that have to do of this indicator, but in terms of accounts receivable and operation, there is no novelty. So with this, we end the most relevant aspects of the commercial management. Thank you. Daniel, you can continue. Thank you so much, Andres. On slide 18, you can see the main indicators of the financial performance of Pay. And we can begin with revenue. As Heido mentioned at the beginning of this presentation, revenue had a very positive performance during the entire 2024, where we closed close to 772 billion pesos, up 9.8% compared to all 2023. When we review the quarter, the fourth quarter of 2024, we see that revenue grew 8.4%, reaching 208 billion pesos. It's important to mention that this increase of almost 69 billion pesos, when we review the annual figures, is given when we readjusted the leases to inflation. The commercial dynamics that Andres mentioned a while ago, and the sound dynamics that we have in the portfolio. Moving to the top right graph, the NOI shows us that in the quarter, the operating profit reached 172 billion pesos, up 8.8%, and a margin compared to revenue of 82.6%. When we review the figures during all of 2024, we find that operating earnings or profit reached 641 billion pesos, more than 10% higher than what we saw in 2023, with a result of 580 billion pesos. So this shows us that for the entire year, we had an operating profit or NOI with revenue of 83% or an NOI margin of 83%. It's important to underline here that we not only have a growth of revenue, but we have operating efficiency in the portfolio. And this has led us to reach these results in which expenses and the cost of pay have grown at a lower pace than revenue. For instance, let me say property tax, which grew less than the inflation rate. And it's one of the most important expenses of pay. Moving on to the EBITDA, we see that for the fourth quarter of 2024, the figure reached 147 billion pesos, 7.8% more than in the fourth quarter of 2023. And when we review the entire year, the EBITDA is close to 149 billion pesos, almost 10% higher than what we saw during all 2023. So we end the year with an EBITDA margin of 71%. Now let's look at the performance of the accounts receivable. And it's important to mention that this indicator has had a very stable performance. We are still in the rank of 2 to 3 days in terms of the accounts receivable net rotation. And although we see a growth of the accounts receivable in terms of quarters, as you can see on the lower right-hand side graph, from 10,525 in 2023 to 11,932 in 24, it's important to underline that this dynamic is given because of the scheduling payments of several tenants, which entered the first days of 2025. Moving on to slide 19, we see the performance of the debt, which, although I already mentioned at the beginning, is extremely relevant in the capital structure of pay. So here you can see that the financial cost and the cost of the debt decreased a bit more than 350 basic points from 14.08% in the fourth quarter of 2023 with a financial expense of 110 billion pesos for that quarter to 10.49% in the fourth quarter of 2024 with a financial expense of 87 billion pesos. So this gives us a full year with a net financial expense close to 384 billion pesos, which means a reduction similar to 50 billion pesos so far in 2024. So when we review the higher right-hand side graph in terms of the debt indexation, the management of the portfolio, as we've said in 2024, focused on reducing spreads or those points that the banks charge us above the indicators, and the management that allowed us to have a more efficient portfolio. So we end the fourth quarter of 2024 with the composition of portfolio debt referenced 59% to inflation or IPC, or sorry, CPI, which is the light gray bar, 26.7, IBR, which is the dark gray bar, and 14.3%, which is the yellow bar in fixed rate. It's important to mention that these changes were made when we compared with the fourth quarter of 2023, seeking more efficiency in the cost of financing. Throughout 2024, we saw that the indicator of inflation dropped faster than what the central bank decreased its rates of interest. So in virtue of those bonds of this portfolio, in which we have no conditions to prepay, and in which we can be very dynamic moving the portfolio, we profile the debt of pay that way. Reviewing the levels of debt, we are still at very healthy levels, way below the limit that pay has of 35%, and in which we find that close to 85% of the debt of pay is long-term. In slide 21, we find the performance of the capital market, in which we see the shares performance throughout the year. It's important to mention that we began the year with a share that cost 64,300 pesos, and we ended in December with 69,980 pesos, up 8.8%. That's the valuation made during the entire year, and we were set in the ranks of the stocks most traded in the Colombian Stock Exchange, reaching seventh position with a daily traded average close to 3 billion pesos. When we look instead at the lower left-hand side graph, we can see the performance of the liquidity of the share in the capitals market. In 2022, we traded daily close to 500 million pesos, but we ended 2024 close to 3 billion pesos traded per day. So this performance is very important because it allows investors to come in and out when they deem best. So now we end our talk on the financial performance and capitals market. And now let's give the word to our CEO, Jairo Corrales, who will give us an outlook for the year 2025. Thank you, Daniel. As we usually do in the first conference of each year, we share with our investors our vision of the performance of the variables or the most important indicators of pay. Firstly, inflation is estimated in a range between 3.8 and 4.26%. This indicator is relevant because it allows us to index all of the revenue that we perceive from the lease contracts. And obviously, it's correlated to topics such as interest rates. Here we expect that the most recent events that have taken place not only in Colombia but globally do not have a negative effect on inflation. We know that what has been announced by the government of the U.S. related to tariffs can lead to more inflation. So far, this has not been confirmed, but we do warn that there could be a distortion in our outlook because of what will take place with those tariffs. In addition, it's important to say that we foresee for 2025, in terms of revenue, that the physical vacancy will be between 5.4% and 6%. That is very aligned with what we've had in recent years. We still have major efforts made, as Andres Esquivel said, with managing the vacant portfolio of buildings like Atrio. Last year, we had a very real event placement of almost 9,000 square meters with a multinational company. And now we have several processes that will lead us to decrease this asset. But it's part of the normal course of a company like this to terminate leases of other assets. That's why we foresee stability in terms of physical vacancy. When it comes to revenue, we will maintain the trend, which is a great attribute of pay that we've highlighted during the pandemic. And when we were so challenged with high interest rates and its revenue. For 2025, our revenue should be range between 800 and 830 billion pesos. This means a major effort, but also reflects one of the bondages and high predictability that we have with pay's cash flow. When it comes to NOI margin, we expect it will be between 81 and 83.5%. Just like vacancy, it will be in a scenario of stability. The financial cost, which in 2023 reached its highest peak with a KD even above 14%, had a major reduction during 2024, and we expect it to continue materialize in 2025. We already mentioned that it could be affected because the international inflation or local inflation, which have made central banks stop the sequential decreases they made of the intervention rate. For the financial cost, we estimate that the KD will range between 9.2 and 9.55%. This obviously will become a major decrease in the financial cost. Daniel already said that by 2024, this rose to almost 380 billion. And for this year, 2025, we estimate it could be more at 305 to 310 billion pesos. And lastly, we always mention an indicator that has to do with resources, how many resources you receive, and it's the dividend yield. There's a significant improvement of what we've seen in the past 2 years, and we expect it to be at 7.3% to 8%, which places us at very attractive levels, and to reach stability, to reach 9%, which is our medium and long-term goal. This dividend yield reflects the capability of pay to generate cash compared with the value of the portfolio of real estate in a determined date. So here we're making we are really projecting the yields distributed since 2025, comparing it with the value of the share as of December 31st, 2024. So with this, we end our earnings report for the fourth quarter of 2024. And provided you an outlook for 2025. So now we can begin our Q&A session. Thank you, Haido. So let's begin now our Q&A session. Thank you. As of now, we will begin our Q&A session. Please write down your comments through the chat box available on the platform. Perfect. So let's begin with a question made by Gabriel Aparicio. How can you compare the net sale value after commissions of the real estate sold with the value of the appraisals used to calculate the equity value of the unit. Heidi, can you give us a hand here?
Sure, Gabriel.
Gabriel, good morning, and thank you for your question. This asset, as we said it throughout this report, Cevide and Éxito was acquired in the first sections of pay. I would say in the 2007, it was sold for $80 billion. It was less than $60 billion in books, so we had a profit selling it for more than $20 billion. The sales commission paid to a third party was 1%, way below the amount that's used in the market. So the percentage profit is above 30% of the sale in the sale on this asset. This property was subject to a deep study made by the administrator for several years. As we said, it was an asset that was purchased 15 years ago, but it was 35 years built when we bought it, so it's almost 50 years old. So we made some updates. This deep study led us to find an opportunity in the regulation of this property. And this way, we saw that through a process made before district entities, we could capture a change of use of this property. So right then, since it was only used for logistics, could have the potential to develop housing there. With a great attribute, it was a chance to use height. There you can build towers with more than 22 floors. So this led us to close a transaction with the amount that I told you of $80 billion, more than $20 billion compared to the value that was registered in books, and obviously covers the commission that was paid to a third party for an amount less than 1%. Thank you, Heido. The next question is by Maria Teresa de America. She asks, in other opportunities you've mentioned that a percentage of the sale of real estate or the property was for investors, but now it's to pay the debt. Heide, could you help us with this answer? Good morning, Maria Teresa. Thank you for your question, and I think it's very important and pertinent. We consider that the resources that can be obtained from a disinvestment can have eventual different uses. And as it's mentioned in your question, it could be even used to create a special yield, but also to pay debt and even to reinvest. In this case, the advisory committee, which is the body in charge of these decisions, reached the conclusion that given the level of the interest rates, which had dropped, yes, but are still high, it was convenient to apply or pay the debt that was most expensive to pay. And fortunately, we're in a period in which we can give a lot to our investors. Danielle and I have already mentioned that next week we'll be giving to our investors $50 billion. That is more than 1,000 pesos per share. So the committee deemed that it was more pertinent to apply the resources from the sale to the most expensive loans and give the investors ordinary yields. So we combined giving an important resource way above what the investors received the year before, but also we decreased the financial burden, which at the end will feed the distributable yields that we can give in future periods to our investors. Third question is from Javier Villegas from Bancolombia. Along with the program to issue shares, is there a program to give more cash flow distributable to not decrease the yield because of more participative shares? Javier, good morning, and thank you for your question. This answer goes hand in hand with what Heidos mentioned when he announced the purpose of the transaction. The idea of the issue is to pay the financial debt, which will allow us to decrease the financial expense. And through that way, we can give a higher distributable cash flow. So that's the chain of events that we anticipate with the emission of the 12th. Next question is from Hernando Rivas. What is the dividend yield of 2024 over the book and the value of books? Heide can give us a hand. Sure, Hernando, good morning. Thank you for joining us and for asking this question. The dividend yield for 2024 calculated over the equity value is 2.21%. We want to provide you the information in a way that will help most of the investors. That's why we deemed that the dividend yield, being such an important indicator, should refer to the value of the market. This doesn't mean that we don't or haven't made a follow-up to the equity dividend yield for 2024. So when it comes to the value market and with regards to the equity value reached 2.21%, being twice what it was in 2022, which was only 1.1%. Fifth question from Mr. Ivan Guanyarita. How can you ensure stability of the price of current and future shares with this new issue in the first semester? Heido, if you wish, we can answer this question together.
Sure.
Yes. The market, the price of the secondary market cannot be guaranteed by any actor or real estate manager. It's the result of the interaction of thousands of variables, some economic and others like the political setting or uncertainty. So the stability of the prices does not depend on the manager, but instead of the market. But what we can do as administrators to determine the strategies to issue shares in the future and that these should be coherent with the amount of the share in the secondary market. Historically, we've made 11 issues of shares, and they were made very close to the equity value back then because the market value was very close to that value or NAV. Today, we have a discount still sensitive, and we believe that we have to be closing that gap, surely with the issuance that we made. And if this issuance is made clearly, the decision of the committee and the recommendation of the manager is to set the price in accordance with the price of the secondary market. So, and that way, we could not create a distortion between the value of the issuance of the share in the primary and in the secondary. Thank you, Heido. And let me take advantage. The next question is made by Francisco Puerta and Daniel Londoño, and they're introducing us into a topic that you just mentioned. They're asking, when you talk about the new issue of shares, what is the price for the public and the average of the market of the current or the previous year or what? So going back to the question made by these two gentlemen, I'd like to say that what we've structured and thought of as managers for this 12th issue is that the price of the issue is based on the market, because as Ida said, we want to avoid distortions in these prices. And the window we would use to calculate that price of the market would be extensive enough so it wouldn't be affected by the volatility of the market per se in short periods, like days, weeks, or months. So it's important to mention that when the issue is made and that we communicate it to the market, we will take a window of time extensive enough to establish the price of that issue. So let's move on to the seventh question by Mr. Gustavo Godoy. How much has the revenue of capitals affected the valorization of the unit? How long do you estimate it will reach 100%? So we assume, Heider, that Mr. Gustavo Godoy, when he talks about the unit, he's talking about the participative share traded in the market. Sure, Thank you, Gustavo, for your question. Again, the amount or the value of the unit has nothing to do with the manager's capability. It's a share traded in the stock exchange, and it's subject to the volatility product of the interaction of thousands of variables. As managers, we can create strategies to recover that value. But as pay until August 2022, we traded only in the fixed rate, and then we migrated to the variable rates. But this, we really wanted to make a split to increase the liquidity and the base of investors. But also, with more liquidity, we launched a program to repurchase shares. So the market can read the good results of the portfolio, and that along with topics of macroeconomic variables, we can continue closing the gap. At the end of March 2023, the share of pay traded with a discount of 80%, and it was absurd. We showed our investors back then and the public opinion that total disconnection there was between the value of the share and the assets of the portfolio. Fortunately, all of these revelations of such incoherence and disconnection led the market to react and to reach the levels that we see today, in which the discount is at 50%. We are optimistic that in years coming years, they won't be easy, but they will be positive for pay. That's why in the real estate market, we see the assets of top quality that pay has and the good performance that we will have. And very importantly, the capability to create cash flow and to appreciate the share and, of course, close the gap. But clearly, we cannot guarantee that we will reach 100% or a time for that to take place. We do believe that the interests are very new and incident, not only in Colombia, but in any real estate investment vehicle, interest rates have several effects. First, when they're high, they decrease the capability to give visible yields because most of the flow has to cover the financial expenses. And second, because the discount rates used by appraisers are higher, and thus being higher, they lower prices. So we have to increase the distributable yields. Remember, if not, though, I told them that the dividend yield calculated over the equity value and is practically doubled in 2023 and also double in 2025. So we must have a better performance of the share in the secondary. Now let's listen to the next question from Yvonne Suarez. Let's look at it quickly because Hydro has already responded it with the previous question. He asks, have you projected the dividend yield of 7.3 to 8% over the equity value or over the market value of the shares? So, Yvonne, the answer is calculated over the market prices. Next question, number 9, is from Mr. David Villegas. He asks, could you remind me the indicator of the coverage of interest? Where should it be to make investments in real estate? To give you a context, this is a change that we introduced in our special shareholders meeting of 2023, so higher with this context. Could you please respond to David? Sure. Thank you for your question, David. This indicator called ICR should be above 1.7% so the manager can have the power to take a new debt and buy new assets. 1.7% basically is a relationship between the EBITDA and the expense of interest. Okay, 10th question from William Borrero. What do you have in the pipeline? Or do you have any projects that are evaluated for disinvestment in 2025? Thank you, Daniel, for your question. I've mentioned in previous talks that this investment is very powerful to manage a real estate investment vehicle, but it's not convenient to give it a deadline or to set your eyes exclusively on one asset. The market is dynamic and could lead us to be convenient to make a disinvestment of a commercial or logistics asset, or to have appetite for being more present in one region. So we disinvest in one when we are above a level. So we ask as a policy to always be attentive to look at any possibility of disinvestment without focusing on very few assets. Currently, and I can't mention much here because of confidential matters, but we are analyzing the possibility of making a disinvestment in the shopping center sector, where Pay, as we told you early, it has 40%, and there are assets that have been in Pay for more than 5 years, and we've had the chance of capturing several cash flows and experience evaluation. So there, we have a latent possibility, and we're even looking not only with one potential buyer, but with several. Thank you. Let's look at the 11th question from Gabriel Aparicio. Is the value of books the same value of the commercial appraisal, or is it the historical cost? Gabriel, that's a very relevant question. I think it makes sense to mention this again. When we talk about the value of books, we do not refer to the acquisition value. And let me go back to a real example of the sale we made of Éxito here in Bogota, in Avenida Las Americas, 168. The value of books we had registered of this asset as of December 31st, 2024, is close to $60 billion. But what is this amount? It's taking the value of purchase, which back then was $24 billion, and adjusting it according to some appraisals that are made annually by independent appraisers using methodologies known like discountable cash flow. So it's not the historical value. The historical value is very, very low. It's much lower, and we compared it with the sales value. The profit is higher. Pay is forced to appraise all of the assets of its portfolio. And as I said, it's made by third parties. So the value in books is close to $60 billion, but the sales value was $80 billion. And if we look at the historical value, it was $24 billion. Thank you. Next question is made by Mr. Ricardo Luna. If I would want to disinvest, the market moves percentage-wide in what ranks according to the latest negotiations. Ricardo, I would say we've been about one quarter in which the negotiation of the participative share has ranged between 69,000 and 71,000 pesos per share. This represents a negotiation rank of close to 3%. So that would be the rank in which lately insisted since the third quarter of 2024, this is the data that I'm mentioning to you. Mr. Andres Villalobos asks, the current law forces to adjust the price of goods to the monthly inflation, creating distortions in the equity value in high inflation regimes. Haido, could you give us a hand with this question? Andres, good morning and thank you. Indeed, real estate assets within a portfolio like that of Pay are forced not only to make an annual appraisal, but that appraisal, which is registered when the independent appraiser makes the reports, should be adjusted by inflation immensely. And you're right. It leads us to the fact that in periods of high inflation, after the year because of the high inflation, and with the new appraisal, there is a devaluation because the valuation as a result of the discounted cash flow can be lower than the adjustments by inflation. And this has happened to us with several assets, and we are always transparent with our investors in several assets. Like what happened in December, we had a devaluation of several of our properties because the value that we had registered a year ago, it was adjusted monthly by inflations, which were relatively high, although they have dropped, they're still high as compared with the new appraisal. And as I said, could give a devaluation of the asset. So it is a phenomenon that affects real estate investment vehicles because inflation can create several important leaps in the amount that should be corrected when you receive the next appraisal. Next question is made by Mr. Juan Diego Garcia. What is the value of books versus the equity value of the share of pay? Juan Diego, thank you for your question. This is a value that changes every day because the equity value of the vehicle is updated regularly. Let me give you a specific point, like in the curve, in which you can see that at the end of 2024, the equity value was $148,277, while the value at the close of negotiation was $69,980. So this means that the value of books compared to the value of the market is 53%. That is, there's a discount of 47% in the negotiation. If we take another point in the same curve, for instance, on February 5, you can see an equity value of 150,072. Next question is made by Juan Carlos Lopez. What expectations do you have to include the H call sell share in the next rebalancing? Thank you, Juan Carlos, for your question. And let me give you all a context about this, because perhaps there are investors that do not clearly know what's H call sell. It really is another trade index that shows the performance of the stock market or of participative shares of Columbia. It's managed by Standard & Poor's, and the outlook that we, or expectation that we have to be included in this index in the next rebalancing that will take place in March is still the same that we had last year. That is, we've explained, and here we have a difference of legal interpretation in terms of the structure of the vehicle. Let me explain. Since Pay is an autonomous equity and not a company, and it's a real estate titularization, we are having discussions and explained to Standard & Poor's and also to the analysts that have asked us that Pay is a variable rent instrument, but it's got a structure that has an autonomous equity, and it's not an anonymous corporation like the other shares that are traded in the variable income market. Oscar Calle asks us the next question. How many shares are issued and how many more do you plan with the capitalization or issue? Heido, you can add the first part of the question. Outstanding shares are 42,110,749. And as far as the second question of the issue, Heidi, can you give us a hand with this? Oscar, thank you for your question. The number of shares, the number of shares is the result of the value that we determine to issue. If we think that the value of the share to issue the primary should be in the average of 90 days, today we would have to make a supposition of the value, which leads us to different ranges. The issue could be between 300 and 500 billion, and the share can have variation. Today it's at 70, but that leads us that the number of shares issued could be at about 4 to 6 million shares new that will be issued to the market. And we have to remember that this topic is very relevant because in the first instance or in the first round, they should be offered to you, our current investors, and only the portion not taken would be offered to third parties. Yes, also, Heidi, I'd like to mention as well that the issues of participative shares that Pay has are with preferential rights. And as we mentioned other scenarios and other talks, it's important to keep in mind to analyze the 12th section. Ms. Alejandra Moru asks, why was there an increase of the physical and economic vacancy corporate? Andres, could you give us a hand with this answer, please? Thank you. Alejandra, thank you so much for your question. As we told you, the indicators of physical and economic vacancy of the corporate portfolio at the end of the fourth quarter showed a variation absolutely marginal compared to the quarter immediately before of 25 basis points, which highlighted that although there was this occupation of 1,500 square meters into corporate buildings in Bogota, these were immediately absorbed. In addition, we also placed 500 square meters in the Atrio building but for a company that manages real estate. And later, there was a termination of a 500 square meter space in Torre de Alianza, also in Bogota. So this explains the variation of 25 basis points. However, it's important to underscore that in the cases when there are anticipated terminations of contracts, there are clauses that include penalties, which mitigates when it comes the really the economic vacancy. So although there is physical vacancy and it's really marginal, we have mitigators for these situations. So as we said, one of the good things of the portfolio is that although today we have a vacancy in the corporate assets above the vacancies of the market, the dilution of this effect is not observed in the total vacancy of the portfolio that moves within the ranges that were estimated and are entirely healthy for the industry of real estate funds. Let's move on to our last question of this Q&A session of the conference for the fourth quarter of 2024. Here we have Lina Londoño, who asks, and how much do you estimate the economic vacancy for 2025? Andres, could you give us a hand with this answer to end our Q&A session, please? Thank you, Lina, for your question. Here it's important to mention that the indicators of economic vacancy are directly linked to the occupation of spaces, but they reflect really is the difference between the grace periods given to the companies for their processes, in some cases, deviations in the prices of rentals established in our budgets. Especially to answer your question, the estimated vacancy for 2025 is in a range between 6 and 7%, which corresponds to the stabilization of what we've seen this year. But again, the responsibility that we have to reduce these indicators, especially the corporate portfolio, has shown that we've made advances with negotiations in their final phases now. And we are very optimistic that to be able to ratify them to you in the next call. Thank you, Andres. So with this, we would like to thank you all for joining us in this Q&A session, and of course, our earnings call for the fourth quarter of 2024. And also, again, we'd like to thank you, remind you that on February 14th, we will be paying our distributable cash flow, and that in May, we will be reporting to you the results of the first quarter of 2025. Thank you so much for your participation, and we'll see you soon.